but I just heard a voice.
Now, listen. It happens. Do you follow my point? Once out of a million. Are you getting my point? And those times are, those are times when, for certain reasons, God has seen that going by the normal way he expects you to go, you won't get there. Are you getting my point? Like I wrote in that book, What is God's Will Here? God told Paul in a dream where to go because the place was very far away out of their way. Normally, Paul goes anywhere. Once he sees that the gospel has not been preached before, it's a Gentile city, he doesn't pray beforehand. Just say, if I was waiting for Timothy in Athens and he saw all kinds of gods, a good opportunity for ministry. He began to preach. Do you get my point? The reason why God appointed Daniel was because the king appointed Daniel was because he was found to be good. And when they even removed him from office, God said, don't worry, it's a matter of time. They will call you back. It's a matter of time. They will call you back. And the day serious problem came, the mother said, your father appointed this man because he had an extraordinary spirit. He had knowledge. He had insight. He could interpret dreams. He could explain enigmas. And the solving of deep, difficult problems were found in him. He said, summon him now and this problem will end. And as soon as he summoned Daniel, the king started talking. You know, look, I will give you this. He said, let all your gifts stay with you. Meanwhile, this is what it means. Your kingdom has been weighed and found wanting. He just gave the man the interpretation. And that night, the interpretation came to pass. The next king also, Darius, he knew where good things were to be found. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Daniel was not praying to be elevated in the next king. No. They just realized that, look, without Daniel, nothing will happen in this place. Initially, of course, they will lay all the old ministers aside. I used to say that Babangida refused to remove Ransom Kuti. It wasn't because the man was a lobbyist. The man didn't use to lobby. But from the start of Babangida's administration till the very end, he did not change Ransom Kuti as health minister because he didn't find anybody better and he had no reason to remove the man. You know, Christians want to stay there by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting has its role, but listen, God will not promote you as a mediocre. The first thing his spirit will do in you is to impact into you the spirit of excellence. That these people, look, get my point, Satanists will gather and say, this is the best man for the job. That is, they need to be deliberately wicked to refuse you the job. The time the current vice chancellor of Obafemi University was going to be appointed, they skimmed him out, you know, the previous administration. They didn't put his name amongst those that the federal government will confirm for who will be VC. Then crisis broke out. The man had gone to UK on sabbatical. It was from there they phoned him. Everybody said, no, it must be Roger Makonjola, other or nobody. The students, the lecturers, everybody gathered and said, this is the only man that will take us out of this trouble. They had to phone the man, please return back home. You are needed here. You know, laziness, dishonesty has beclouded believers. They think they can bribe God into prosperity. Are you getting my point? Faith is not to get what you cannot handle. Faith is to prepare you to be able to handle great things when they come. Do you get the point I'm making? I see a man believing God that I'm going to be the chairman of NBL. God will say, okay, what is the current stock market price of NBL? You have no idea. He said, you want to be chairman. Okay, where did they import their malt or buy it from? He said, what? Malt now that they used to make this. Okay, what about sorghum? He said, what is sorghum? Is it a brand of car? He said, no, it's not a brand of car. It is a grain. He says, and he said, you want, even the angels will, you get away from there before we slap you now. You want to be chairman only. You know what I mean? It's covetousness. Thief. You know, we preach a gospel that suits the heart of greedy people. It suits their heart. You know, you don't have to work. How much do you earn now? 5,000. Okay. Just take 2,000 naira and give it as offering. The 1,000 naira, be using it for confession. Then, just don't go to work. Oh. You are a civil servant, but after how much do they pay you? Why should you be at work at 8 o'clock? Daniel was a civil servant. It was in civil service that he was found excellent. Do you get the point I'm making? That is what will cause you to be promoted is not one manifestation that nobody can understand. Now, listen to this. Before it begins, they will not be able to predict it. Now, let me explain that very clearly. Before it begins, they will not be able to predict it. But nobody will appoint you as professor of mathematics if you cannot solve difficult problems. That's what I'm trying to say. Now, as a child, they may tell you you are dull and you don't know mathematics. You understand my point? That's why Isaiah said, I and the children that the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders. That is, people will look at our lives later and wonder, how did it happen? You get what I'm trying to say? But so at the beginning, they may tell you they are not smart. But the day they will appoint you professor of mathematics, difficult problems will have been solved and put in your pocket that, look, this man is the only one that can do this thing. After all, Albert Einstein was not exactly a smart boy when he was a young boy. You understand the point I'm making? But before he became the Albert Einstein that you know, I mean, he had to invent relativity. Explain relativity, do all kinds of things, atomic physics. He had to do all those things. All his theories, almost all of them were found to be true by experimentation. Before he became the Albert Einstein that you know. No matter how much God blesses you, you have to be remembered for something. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, what God wants to use to promote you and have you take over kingdoms is the excellence that is in what you do. A man told me once, let's do this business together. I mean, as a pastor, Lord, he said, okay, now, if I send this person, how much is my cut? I told him I don't do cut business. I don't give you a cut for anything. That if you find somebody who will do my work better than me, go there. The only thing I want you to come to me for is because of the quality of the work I do. If you don't like it, you see, that is what the Bible says when it says a bribe removes the ability to judge from a wise man. Because when you find a man who's better, you won't go there because I give you some money. I said, no, I don't do court business. If you don't like my work, don't send me clients. If you have somebody better, send them there. Do you follow the point I'm making? There are some of my colleagues who ask me that, I have this problem. Who do I see? I say, look, in this whole place that I work, that man, I can vouch for the fact that he will give you the best care possible in this region. He didn't give me money. He will not even know I told those people to come and see him. But after interacting with everybody, I have found out that is the best fellow to do that job. Listen, the supernatural manifestation in your life is to give you understanding. It's not to give you results that you don't deserve. Do you understand what I'm saying? If they want to employ people in a place, the normal way God does it is that he will make you the best during the interview. That's what he does. You know, this is the wisdom of God because he works in different ways. Ben Carson told his story of how he was appointed as a resident in Johns Hopkins. That he wanted to join, I think, an opera or something. No, he wanted to do, but he decided to learn classical music. But at the end of the day, the thing did not work. But he had the knowledge of classical music. Are you getting my point? And then it was in school. Okay, he did music. Okay. Now, the day of the interview, this is how God works fantastically. The man didn't just like him. God just steered discussion to classical music. And the Elga loved classical music. So Ben Carson just gisted with him based upon the knowledge of classical music that he had. And that thing got the man to like him. Do you follow my point? Now, this is another thing about it. He turned out to be their best neurosurgeon. God knew what he was doing. God used that to override any prejudice or the fact that he's a black man. When they appointed him as a consultant, what they call chief there, chief of pediatric neurosurgery, it was because his oga felt nobody here is better than this man. It wasn't like, you know, one, he was a black man. This was a foremost white institution. His black colleagues told him that those guys are racist. Yet the day the board will appoint him, everybody unanimously agreed that this 33-year-old man is a man for the job. They didn't remember that he's black. Why? Because his boss said, I have worked with people. There is nobody better than him that can do this job. When God was going to help him, God didn't just say, okay, I will make you that. He sent him to Australia. Events took him to Australia, where he did more surgeries in 1 year than he could have done in the U.S. in 3 years. The Australians operate our kind of system in Nigeria. The consultant is a big man. In America, the consultant is a big man, but he does big work. But in Australia, UK, and Nigeria, consultant is a big man that supervises the work of the small men and only does the difficult work. Do you get my point? So when he got there, they all found it easy. All the consultant, the man wants to go on holiday. Hey, I'll go do it. Yeah, Ben is around. Hey, Ben Carson, please, can you just cover me for a month? And the boy said, no problem, sir. In that 1 year, he fine-tuned his surgical skills so much that by the time he got back to the US, his oga himself bowed, said, this boy is good. So the next time opening came up, they opened their mouth. They said, the people are racist. Don't mind them. The guy smiled. Oga said, are you interested in the job? He said, if you give it to me, sir. I said, no problem. That was all. Went before the board. This guy takes that job. How old is he? Doesn't matter. He was younger than the white people. He was a black man. But what God used to override all of that is that there was none better than him to be found anywhere. That is the spirit of promotion. That is the grace to go forward. It is not that you don't know your work, yet they appoint you. No. You know, that's a romantic story to be found in home videos and churches' testimonies. The truth of life is that there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty will give him understanding. It is that understanding that God has given him that will give him the promotion that God has ordained for him to have. Look, Solomon was appointed king while he was very young and nobody took him serious except that his father said he shall be the king. But after he passed a few judgments, everybody bowed and said, this guy is the best king there is. I used to tell people, I explained to my wife, there are people I related with in the past. You see them, maybe they call me now, my pastor. Now, these are people senior to me who knew me well, very small and knew nothing. I told my wife, do you know why that person calls me my pastor? I said, I end that word, that expression, I end it from the life that the fellow observed in me. That was it. That is observed that this guy has the word of God. This guy understands something. So that when the fellow comes and says, look, this guy is my pastor. Look, we don't live in the same place. But it was based, look, it wasn't just like, I just see the anointing over your head. God just spoke to me to be respecting you. Are you following me? What you will go for is not one rubbish confession in the morning, I'm the head. No, the head is God will give me understanding that will make me the head. You're following what I'm saying? Come on, that is what Christianity is. It is not a cult of mediocres who believe in cosmic powers to bring them to places that they can never reach. Rather, it's a body of believers who know that God created me on this earth and created me for a purpose, and he had equipped me to be able to fulfill that purpose. That is, there is an area where I'm the best. I will ensure that the spirit that is inside me will give me the inspiration and the understanding to become outstanding in that area. That is what will give you the throne in that place. That's how God works. For time's sake, we may not read it. But the same thing happened in the life of Joseph. Joseph dreamt a dream, right? That he will be great. Yes. He had a particular gift interpreting dreams. But notice one thing. When Pharaoh was going to appoint him prime minister, it was because... No, remember what Belteshazzar's mother said about Daniel? That the solving of difficult problems was found in him. Pharaoh had a difficult problem. And after they tried, and these are the things that God really does. It's not those fantastic testimonies. God had arranged for one of Pharaoh's lieutenants to have met Joseph while he was in prison. All God did was tell him who can do the job. Simple. It wasn't, I just see you as a slave. God must have spoken to you as a young man. Come and become prime minister. That is not the point. He said, are you the prisoner they are talking about? Yes, my Lord. You can solve my problem. I really can't, but the God of my fathers has a way of telling me how to solve problems. He said, okay, try. I dreamt a dream like this. Instantly, I noticed something about men who had understanding of dreams in the Bibles. They never used to pray to interpret dreams. Daniel never prayed to interpret dreams. Joseph never prayed to interpret dreams. Daniel only prayed when he did not know the dream. When the king said, I can't remember the dream. I can't tell you the dream. He went and prayed. The moment he saw the dream, interpretation was part of him. So as soon as this problem came, Joseph said, well, this is a small matter, sir. This, you know, he began to give interpretation. He said, okay, the Pharaoh said, but okay, that was for the first one. What about the second one? He said, oh, the two dreams are one and the same. The reason why it was repeated, God usually repeats things when he's about to do them quickly. That is, from now, the thing will begin to work. That was the end of interpretation. See the spirit of excellence. So Pharaoh said, what do we do now? He said, let us do this. Appoint a man to do this, to do that, to do that. We build back. Now, some of those things in scriptures are summaries. I can imagine a man explaining that we have to build barns in these chief cities. That there's a city here. It's good to look at them. The guy will have finished giving him a rundown of the solution. So he said, I think you should do that. Put a man in charge. So Pharaoh said, whose idea was this? It was your idea. So who should I put in charge? Well, naturally, you will be in charge. Now, since this is an issue of the survival of the nation, you have to take the highest authority in the land. Henceforth, you run the country. The only difference is that I'm Pharaoh. You are not. That is, Pharaoh did not appoint him because I heard that your father has a covenant with the God of heaven. In fact, I heard that God spoke to you as a young boy. I heard that your brother sold you into slavery. It is not just. We should reward you for being a slave. Listen, if he did not have that solution, you know the best thing Pharaoh would have done for him? He would have pardoned him for his iniquities and sent him away. For interpreting the dream, he will pardon him for his errors and send him away. But for having the solution to the problem, he said, you can't go anywhere. You are a servant till you die. You are now my servant. You are a servant in your father's house. You are a servant in Pharaoh's house. You are a servant in jail. Now you are my servant. Come and reign here. And like I say, he rapidly just gave him a wife. Some prayers are unnecessary. If you do the right things, they will just collect the wife and just come here to you. Say, take her back, go and do work. Do you get my point? That is, what happened to Joseph? Pharaoh said to Joseph, can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit? That's what my Bible says. If you read King James, it says the spirit of the gods. That's what the other renderings use. Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. Then began to pronounce authority upon the man. Yes, God prophesied. He dreamt. God told him, yet there was an event of excellence that took him to the throne. And that is the spirit that God wants to put in people. Your boss will never sack you if he finds that because of you, I have been blessed. You know, there was one film we were watching the other day, The Wedding Planner. And the wedding planner she was working for somebody. I went to her organizer and said, look, I'm going to land this big account and I want to be made a partner. The woman said, make you a partner. I built this business myself and everything. And she said to the boss very simply, and you never made any money until I came along. All your other wedding planners put together, I make 5 times the amount of money that they make for you. That was the end of the deal. You're a partner. You understand my point? That they can't afford to lose you. That is what God used to promote people. There is nobody God just promotes because I just want to promote you, you know. So people just say, we know God wants you to be promoted. I always tell people that, you know, some people preach that you must be anointed. Somebody must pass authority to you and anoint your head. I said, listen to this. Do you know how Samuel became a prophet? Nobody anointed Samuel prophet. Are you aware of that? He lived with Eli. And one day Eli died suddenly. He was a temple servant, you know what I mean? Like, just run around the tabernacle. But the people noticed that there was no word that Samuel spoke that ever failed. That was what made him a prophet. They just noticed that once Samuel speaks, that is final authority. Job did not become great because, that is, in the eyes of people, because he was righteous alone. Open to Job chapter 29. You will understand what I'm saying there. Excellence is what God will use to promote you. It's not talk. Do you get my point? Your faith that you profess, God said, that you might not perish, I will send my only begotten son. Job 29. Job said something, if you read from verse 2, he was talking about how his life was. He said, all that I wear, as in months gone by, as in the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone over my head, and by his light, I walked through darkness. Now, I want to jump down because of something. Talking about excellence that was found in Job. Now, today I don't want to speak about his good works. Verse 21. He said, to me they listened and waited and kept silent for my counsel. After my words, they did not speak again. He said, my speech dropped on them. They waited for me as for the rain and opened their mouth as for the spring rain. Now, read verse 25. He said, I chose a way for them and sat as chief and dwelt as a king among the troops, as one who comforted the mourners. What am I saying? The greatness of Job amongst his people was they found out that when there is a problem, talk to Job. You know, there's one scripture I said we wanted to read at the beginning, but we did not read. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 18. He said, you shall remember that it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to get wealth. Now, what I want to bring out from there is this. He said, he gives you what? Power to get wealth. Power to get wealth is not like you put up your hand and money begins to jump inside. That power to get wealth is one understanding, one invention, something that he gave to you as an inspiration, something you can do to help people's lives. And for that reason, the Bible says, give and it shall be given to you. When you give them that service, people begin to pour money into your pocket. That is, Windows is Bill Gates' power to get wealth. It's not just, I have power to get wealth. And you wake up in the morning, I have power to get wealth. No. It's good to confess that. But your power to get wealth will be manifested as something tangible. That is what God gave to you as power to get wealth. This man that writes legal stories, what's his name now? John Grisham. Now, this man was trained as a lawyer, but he found out that he was better at writing novels. So he used to go to court, just go and observe things that happened and everything. So instead of, I think that was why he studied, I don't know the full story. But this is the point. The man found out he was better at writing novels than anything else. He had studied law, so he started writing novels on legal matters. The guy will write one book, it will sell 5 million copies. That is, the ability to write good novels is his power to get wealth. Rich Dad Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki. You know, the Bible says that there's a man that plants seed. He goes to sleep. The thing breaks fruit. He himself does not know how. I believe that the man himself doesn't even fully understand the spiritual principles behind the things that he's doing. Whatever he did that made God happy with him, I don't know. But after the man had done some things in life, God just gave him one idea. And that idea was his power to get wealth. The guy wrote Rich Dad Poor Dad. Do you follow my point? After writing Rich Dad Poor Dad, he wrote Rich Dad Poor Dad's Guide to Investing. Rich Dad Poor Kid. You know, he kept on writing one thing. Everyone a bestseller. Everyone a bestseller. Everyone a bestseller. That is, writing is his power to get wealth. The issue is that it is God that gives you that thing. But when God gives you that power, it is tangible. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You know, I've said the problem is that Christians often, they want to live very romantically. I was just sitting down, nothing happened, somebody just gave me money. Now, those are things that bring you out of crisis. The only people that live by people giving them money all the time are preachers. And it is written in the scriptures, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that's threshing out the wheat. And Paul said, God was not saying that about animals, but was talking about his ministers. That if we minister spiritual things to you, the rule is that you minister back physical things. So the man actually is working for his pay. And that is why Bishop Oyedepo said he has a rule. He does not ever tell anybody thank you. Ever. Ever. He doesn't tell anybody thank you. People have given him tens of millions. He does not tell them thank you. He says, payment for the job that I do. That is, the man speaks and then people return back money to him. But this is the point. That is for people like that, ministers. Most believers won't live like that. God will give you an idea, and that idea will give service to people. Say, give and it shall be given to you. You give them windows, they give you dollars. That's the way it works. No, but you know what we like? I drop offering and the rain falls from heaven. Hey, are you a cultist? You are not in a cult. You are a Christian. The ordination of God for your life is that there is a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. Do you follow my point? And the understanding, according to Belteshazzar's mother, is that that understanding will help you solve difficult problems. If you give MTN solution to some of their stingy lifestyle, you know what I'm meant to say, you will become rich instantly. No, get me. If I'm able to walk down to glue and said, do this, that I have things that will make you the number one telecom provider in Nigeria in 18 months, and we enter a deal, and I give them the idea, and they buy it, and it works. Do you know I'm too rich? I mean, from that deal alone, I'm already too rich. You can't, I mean, it's too much already. I was reading Mary Kay's book, and she described a small principle that somebody sent to, I think, Charles Schwab, one of those big men of U.S. that time, and said, he said, look, operate this principle. Whatever it does for you people, you pay me for it later. It's after a few months, he sent the person a check for, I can't remember the exact amount, but some thousands and thousands of dollars. For a simple idea, he said, get all your managers to write 6 things that they must do that day, at the beginning of the day. And they found out that their productivity almost doubled. Payment for that simple statement. Write 6 things you must do that day. First thing in the morning. He said, the person found out that most people are confused. After doing one thing, they don't know what to do next. So they waste time. So he said, first thing in the morning, write down 6 things that must be done. So he found out that when those people write those things down, they always accomplish a lot. The man just looked, being a just man, said, this thing has helped me. It is worth this amount of money. Send the person a check. Give and it shall be given to you. You know, those who withhold issues are the ones that don't go far. The Bible said there is he that withholded more than his meat, but he tends to poverty. Those who share, look, this is not, these spiritual principles are real. They affect material things. There is nobody that's a giver, that will not become rich. Now, we're not talking about just giving offering a law or giving to charity. That one has its part, because all these things that we're talking about are fueled from the realm of the spirit. But even in the material level, there is a way you will be imparting people's lives all the time that you can never be poor. There was something when I was doing during our oath-taking ceremony, when we graduated from school, College of Medicine. One of the people that came from Medical and Dental Council spoke then. He said, as a doctor, one, you may never become very rich from practicing medicine. He said, but one thing is also certain, you will never be poor. He said, as long as you can prescribe, people will always pay you. Now, this is a principle there. Because people will be sick, and you will always be bringing solutions to their problems, that they will always pay you. He said, you may not be very rich, but you will never be very poor. Why? Because you have been empowered to give service to people. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That what God will use is an inspiration. Now, this is how it works. Like we're reading about Joseph and about Daniel. There will be something that God will set up as a problem that he will use to set you up. Do you get what, you understand what I'm saying? That is, one day, famine will just be around the corner. And everybody will try and it will not work. Somebody told me that... And let me leave that story out. It's not very relevant now. And then, so that thing, everybody will try. And then they will bring you and say, okay, what is it? You say, look, I have a solution to that problem.
Is that not what lifted David up before Saul? Goliath was a problem. But not to David, to everybody else. As far as David was concerned, Goliath was meat. But everybody saw big problem. Giant. Oh, we are dead. We can't fight again. Their spirit left them and went home. Their bodies were in the camp, but the spirits had departed. So David said, what's the price for killing that one? They said, you married the king's daughter. Are you serious? Yes, you are very serious. He asked two more people, they confirmed it. He said, oh yeah, I'm about to become the king's son-in-law. What is going on? I'm about to become the king's son-in-law. I'm going to kill that giant. The giant is big. He said, wait. There is a spirit in me. That's a big problem for you people, but the understanding of the solution is with me. It's okay, let us see. He said, the solution is a small stone. Boom, the guy fell down and he cut his head. He said, I told you. What I'm saying is this. Most of these things, get me, are simple matters to you when you get there. It's everybody else that will be confounded. Some of the ideas you have that are so simple in your head. If you know the headache and migraine, people are getting over that problem. You know, the other day, I was talking to my friend MTN, and he was telling me some things that MTN had decided. I said this thing 2 years ago that MTN should do this. So you will have to spend millions of naira in a committee meeting to come to a solution that could have written for you free of charge. Are you getting my point? That is, there is a spirit of understanding. That's what God came to give you. That is what he will use to lift you up. It is excellence. Being better than everybody else is what will lift you up. Don't you know, there's one funny sticker that we'll make joke about. You put it on the car. After people have stolen, have behaved very badly, mediocre, everything, they believe it or not, I'm a child of God. That is, it's not believable that you're a child of God, but we have to believe it anyway. What is it that makes you a child of God? That whatever you do, you prosper, you excel. Because if you don't look at life like that, you will not vie for excellence. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light that produces life. You understand what I'm saying? That is, the problems of the world are solved by me. Anything that's a problem on this earth will be solved by the Spirit of Christ. He now said, while I am the world, that's the issue. That is, after I have left, you are the light of the world. Every problem has a solution that I put inside you. It's as you use that solution in your area of calling that you will excel. It's as you use that solution in your area of calling that you will excel. You will not be promoted because you're a child of God. But you will become excellent because you're a child of God, and your excellence will earn you promotion. That's the point I'm making today. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, on this earth, look. Your spirituality is in your bedroom. You have to understand what I'm saying. Look, please, let me get this clear. What God will reward openly is done what? In secret. It is done in secret. You will be spiritual and you will get an idea from heaven. Are you getting what I'm saying? But your idea, you won't sell it that, brethren, God spoke to me that in this company, if we move our mast from here to that place, it will work better. You won't sell that to the unbeliever there. This is the way it works. You sleep at night. Can you remember Kekule's structure? Those of you who did chemistry. On the structure of benzene. Oh, you've forgotten. But benzene, how do you write benzene? You know, then, all they knew was straight chain hydrocarbons. Straight chains. But you see, benzene is 6 carbon atoms and 6 hydrogen atoms. How do you draw that on a straight chain? Now, some of these things that become simple, for them it was a landmark inspiration. Then he dreamt and saw a snake with the tail in his mouth, running in circles. He woke up and said, that's the structure of benzene. And he was right. Now, nobody will believe you because you say you dreamt and saw the structure of benzene in his dream. What will happen is that you will tell them that I am persuaded this is the structure of benzene, and you will draw it. It will make sense, and they will experiment and confirm it. I told you Albert Einstein's theories were confirmed. In fact, there was one when the man said that he believed that the stars were moving, the universe was expanding by reason of his theories. And the best telescopes they had said it was not true. So he introduced what he called the cosmological constant to prove his own theory wrong. That is, the only reason I can be wrong is that there must be a constant I cannot explain. Then one day, one man called Hubble, you've heard of Hubble Space Telescope, invented a telescope that was bigger and better than the previous ones. Then they found out that indeed Albert Einstein was correct. And he said that cosmological constant is the greatest mistake of his scientific life. Because he knew what he was saying was right. But it was impossible to be proved. So he accepted defeat. Then one day they proved him right. He said, yes, I said so. What am I trying to say? The inspiration that God will give you will become practical. You don't go, look, it's only gurus. You know what they call gurus? You know, Guru Maharaj, people like that. Their lives are never practical. Monks, those who live inside caves, they never bring out anything. God does not judge any man for the sin he did not commit. God will never reward you for the sin you did not commit. Your reward in the day of judgment is for the good things that you did. Which sin will have incapacitated you from doing? That's the problem with sin. We'll talk about sin next time. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, there are things that you are supposed to do on this earth. If you are busy chasing women, you will never do it. And the day of judgment, God will say, did you do it? You say, no, fine. You are judged down. I mean, you are marked down. It is the man beside you that did it will not be saying, look, oh, me, I never chased women around. Though. I was a man of one woman. No, nobody will reward him for that. They'll say, good, did you restructure the legal system in Nigeria? He said, Lord, I did. Say, fine, give him his judgment. Reward, abundant reward. But the other man that we sent along with him, they gave him small local government chairman. He chose small money. Corruption, that's Bible says that sin. All men sinned and became short of God's glory. That is, as he was chopping small, small money, then one day they introduced small, small women. Like that, he becomes a big politician. Except that he's just stealing 1 million today, stealing 5 million tomorrow, and God is just looking at him like this. Then one day, God kills him. He was a Christian those days, but God just killed him suddenly. And day of judgment, I saw you with the women. No, that's not the point. The point is that, what did you do on the earth? He said, I built 10 orphanages. You're a fool. Who asked you to build one orphanage? I gave 5 million naira in charity. He said, what was the issue? He will just show you a photograph of 5,000 people that died needlessly because you did not bring about proper justice to bring them out of jail. He said, for their death, I imprison you for life. So you see how sin robs a man of his reward. Read your Bible well. It is not, look... Judgment Day. Nobody is talking about you get reward because you didn't lie. No. Liars can't walk with God. He said, any man who practices this thing cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That is, what I am describing for you are issues of the kingdom. Solutions to men's problems are issues of the kingdom. There was a story I was reading last week with my friend. I think the man's name was Charles Townes, the man who invented the laser. The man said he sat on a bench and the idea came to him like an inspiration. And he went to the lab. Now, all of us use laser. Laser is a critical part of life. If you use a compact disc, you are using laser. If you use a computer, your CD is read with laser. You go to hospital, they use laser. You go to engineering, they use laser. The man sat down. He said there was a day he sat down, that the way he got that thing was inspiration. The man is a champion of the fact that he said religious things are correct. They are real. He's a scientist. He won a Nobel Prize for it. What am I saying? The inspiration that God will give you will be practical. You understand my point? You will not persuade a Muslim that I dreamt. In fact, this thing came after 15 days fasting. Look, let me prove to you it was from God. It was just after I ended the fast and said in Jesus' name, amen, that the thing came. That will not persuade an unbeliever. What will persuade an unbeliever is that it works. Period. And soon he gets used to the fact that anytime we need something that works, we go to you. Are you getting my point? What persuades him is that what? It works. And he has come to understand that this man, whether it is dream or not, at least he knows it. You understand what my point? Whichever way he brings it about, he knows it. There was an interesting thing that happened when I was doing my part one, postgraduate medical college exams. 2 nights before the exam, I dreamt of, I went late for the exam and I got my question paper, and question number 1 was a particular topic.
So after the dream, I woke up, you know. So it was a topic we're not planning to read for the exam. So I said, well, peradventure it comes to pass. So I sat down and ground it into pieces. So I told some of my colleagues that, boys, I dreamt something, you know. No, that one can't come out. No, that one is not possible. There were three of us that went for that exam. We're a total of nine, but from my group, we're three. One of them a believer, the other one a Muslim. This is the point I'm coming to. And the Muslims say, we never can tell. He read it. You know, the believer refused to read it, that it won't come to pass, that it's not likely. Of course, me too, I didn't take it serious. Except that I entered the exam hall late, like I said, in the dream, and they gave me my question paper, and it was there, clear, black and white, number one. I remember the guy was sitting on my right, the Muslim boy. He turned his head. He's like, Anyway, we thought the exam, by God's grace, you understand my point? My prof did not care that I dreamt. His own was that I got the answer. You understand my point? The dream is my personal problem. After the exam, this was West Africa. When we were going for national, guys came to say, any dreams? That's what I'm coming to. I said, hey, Joseph, anything for us? For a short while, my name was Joseph. Joseph, anything for us? Now listen to me. In life, that's the way it will be. You will work in a telecommunication company and they will say, how do we break across these problems? Then one day you will sit down, maybe one day after prayer, idea just comes to your head. You rush down to your computer, put one or two or three things down. Are you getting me? One or two, you know, you quickly put the things down, you get back to the office next day, let's do it like this. The argument will start. It will work. No, that you were inspired, listen to me, is your personal problem. Your spirituality is in your bedroom, not in the office. You bring out, after some time, somebody says, okay, since we have no other option, let us try it. Then they try it, and it works. Next time you bring another weird idea, they will quickly try it, and it works. After it has worked three times, it's obvious you'll be the next manager. Very soon you're an AGM. I told you about my friend. The guy walked from nobody. The last time I saw him, he didn't have a job. Next time I saw him, he was a manager in less than 3 years. The next time I called him, I was congratulating him on the fact that he was now an AGM. And he said, Abba, that he's already 2 years old. And that the next he's praying for is that he will be DGM. Why? You know, Bible says that by faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. People can explain that it is because he's ED. The executive director likes him. And that's a fact. Except that the man did not like him because they are from the same place. They are not. He did not like him because he married his sister. It is because he didn't marry his sister. They are not related. He did not like him for any other reason than he worked with this guy and he couldn't afford for any other bank to take him from him. So every time things come up, quickly, you know, after some time, you see the guy is on the same level sometimes. They quickly, and there's an opening. The man pushes him forward because he's worth more than the money they pay him. So they are glad to keep on multiplying his income. He told me of the day, I think I told the story last time, of when suddenly his boss just phoned him. That's the ED. Say, look, we are seeing the vice president tomorrow. He had just a few hours to get ready to see the vice president. And he was going to do the presentation. Next thing, he had packed a bag, told his wife, sorry, I'm off to Abuja. Jumped on the plane. And of course, when they ushered him to see the vice president, he said, at the end, his boss like, oh boy, thank you very much for delivering us from embarrassment. Because that was the notice his boss also got. The way you will be promoted is that the Spirit of God in you will rise up in excellence. Listen, it is not by those weird stories you hear from pulpits or people testifying. Elihu said, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. Listen, saints of God, it is that understanding that will lift you up. Do you understand what I've said? Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your beautiful word that you have given to us again today.